Human beings are, for the most part, sociable and friendly people. Throughout a lifetime, we surround ourselves with family and friends. And then there are the neighbors, our co-workers, our fellow church parishioners, and those we simply call acquaintances. While it is true that we do enjoy the company of others, we are also aware that we entered this world as an individual. We came into this world as a separate entity with personal views and attitudes. Now, much of our understanding is the result of our own concepts and ideas, ones that we developed and accepted along the way. Even in the midst of discussion with others, ultimately, we ponder and consider our questions from the standpoint of the individual. So today we will talk about life as it applies to the individual. There are many traits and characteristics assigned to this person. We speak of personality and behavior, mannerisms and gestures. We all have the ability to think and to reason, learning through observation, education, and yes, our experience. We are curious about life in general, but more importantly, we are curious about us. As a separate entity, where do we fit in the scheme of things? We ask, why were we born into a particular family, at a particular time and location? We are certain that if we learn the answer to these questions, that we will solve the mystery of why we are here. We consider this important information. You see, we are confident that if we know why we are here, we will have a reason for living, a reason for being born. We seek purpose and persistence, allowing us to move forward in a meaningful way. Intuitively, we feel there is a reason for everything, and we want to know what it is. Now, this desire to learn more was not some random thought that came to us in the middle of the night. Throughout the ages, mystics and holy men have advised us to know ourselves. Socrates, the Greek philosopher, he taught that truth was the only thing worth striving for. He therefore advised his students to seek and find truth. His instruction was, man, know thyself. Know the truth of your being. As a philosopher, he was referring to a deeper substance of being, that self with a capital S, the one of eternal life. Plato, the Greek sage, he gave us another law of truth when he said, man, control yourself. Every thought accepted as a belief reproduces in the visible life of the individual some form of correspondence. Not only does like attract like, but also like produces like. Now, this law of control is personal. Each man can accept or reject thoughts, ideas of others, or those that arise from within sense appearance or from the source of truth. The individual soon learns never to dwell upon anything that he is not willing to experience. Jesus Christ mastered Socrates' law of know thyself. He mastered Plato's law of control thyself. And he added one more bit of instruction when he said, man, deny thyself. Now, what he meant was to surrender one's limited, vain, foolish opinions about himself. and allow the Spirit of Truth to take full charge of one's life. Not my will, but thine be done. The curious individual reads the words of Socrates, Plato, and Jesus Christ. He is fascinated and impressed by what he has read. After all, these were the learned individuals of the day. If he follows their advice, he is certain that he will soon discover a logical reason for living. All he has to do is to learn more about his self, and then, taking what he has learned, proceed to fulfill his purpose for being, which he is certain would include living the abundant life described in the Bible. Not only does he agree with the words of the mystics, but he has also read that chapter in the Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes, that explained there is a time for everything. To everything, there is a season, and a time for every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to speak, and a time to keep silent. The individual reasons in this way. Surely, since there is a time to everything, and he is alive at this moment, then his time of purpose has arrived. Acknowledging that his time of expression has come, he is even more determined to learn all that he can about himself, making his designated time on this earth plane fruitful and prosperous. However, being new to this idea of existence and still in his babyhood of spiritual understanding, he misinterprets the self the holy men were describing. He did not realize that the self with a capital S, his spiritual identity, is the one he is to know and experience. Now, not realizing his mistake, he proceeded to direct his attention to the physical self, the material man of expression. It seemed reasonable enough. It seemed reasonable to assume that a reason for living would be found in the world. After all, that is where he is living. So this would be his area of study, getting to know about this man of flesh and what is his reason for existence. Although he felt this was the way, he still needed a little advice on how to do it. How does one get to know an idea of self? So he began to look around him, just to see what others were doing. He remembered that one method of learning was through observation. And what better way to learn about life than to observe his fellow man? Now, sometimes this method of learning involves judgment and conclusion. For instance, one way of observing what others have done with their life is to read about how they lived it and what they have done. Every day in the Metro section of the Washington Post, we will find the obituaries, a list of individuals who have made their transition. Many times this includes their age, in addition to other information. So we begin to read, and yes, we judge. We discover that one individual lived a relatively long life, accomplishing many things. In addition, this person had a family, including several generations. We read and we judge. Surely a person who has lived to a ripe old age must have discovered something meaningful about life. And then we read on. discovering an individual who left this earth plane at a rather young age. Some might call it in the prime of life. And we question, what could they have possibly accomplished in such a short period of time? Did they even know there was such a thing as a reason for being? We continue on, judging the lives of people we do not even know, reaching conclusions based on a limited summation of their life, outlined in the obituary section of the Washington Post. Now, unless we were acquainted with the individual, we would have no way of knowing if our conclusions are correct. After all, it was simply our speculation if they had discovered meaning to life or not. The curious individual soon concluded that it was not helpful to conduct his study in this way. So he decided to confine his noticing to those around him. Now, to be honest, when he first began to look around him, he did not always like what he saw. And he began to question how many people actually had a good reason for living. It appeared that many individuals get up in the morning, go to their place of employment or whatever it is they do during the day, come home, eat dinner, watch a little TV, and then go to bed, repeating the same sequence day after day after day. Oh yes, there may have been some minor variation on the weekend, but when Monday rolled around again, it was right back to the established routine. None of this seemed like a good reason for living. So next he decided to turn his attention to his own family, to the people that he knew something about. So he chose to begin his study by focusing on his older relatives, the ones who were retired. How were they doing? Surely by the time they reached this stage of life, they would have discovered a reason for living, one that was productive and meaningful, one that he could relate to and learn from. Well, studying life in this way was a revelation for the student. He discovered that, yes, some of his relatives seemed to have found a personal degree of satisfaction, content with life in its present form, indicating they may have discovered a purpose for being. It was also obvious that others had merely settled into a new routine of behavior, one that allowed them to do something or nothing at all. Some admitted to him that there were many days they did not even change out of their pajamas and slippers. While we may consider this behavior acceptable and appropriate for the one who desires it, still, can we actually consider it a good reason for living? The questioning student discovered that attitude, intent, and motivation are important elements in determining a reason for living. However, they are also personal to the individual. It really does come down to what we want out of life. Whatever we choose to do, we want to feel satisfied and content. It would seem that all we really ask of life is that it reveal its importance so that we may discover what satisfies our heart and our soul. In his process of study, our student learned a thing or two about himself, and that was the purpose, to learn about his attitude, intent, and motivation. He did not want to be the self stuck in a rut of routine. He wanted to be the self who looked forward to waking up in the morning, eager for what that day might bring. This is the self he wanted to know. He considered this the life worth living. So yes, he decided to continue his study. However, he limited to those who found meaning in life, asking questions concerning attitudes, views, and motivation. He was not interested in learning more about the mundane aspects of the material life. He had heard enough. They were limited in scope, and he could see no good reason for their existence. He wanted to know more about that sense of fulfillment and contentment, the ones described by those who had found it. How do you find it, and what does it feel like? This is what he learned. It was clear that the satisfaction and contentment they described were not traits assigned to the physical individual. Accomplishing and achieving in a material way may bring a certain degree of pleasure simply because there is gratification in acknowledging a job well done. However, the aura of delight does not last. It disappears in the realization there is still more work to do. Life does not allow us to stand still and bask in yesterday's attainment. Our inward nature holds the key to what stirs us and moves us in ways that are different from one another, ways that are personal and unique to us. For example, we look around us. We notice the elderly woman sitting on her front porch, knitting booties for her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. Now, at first glance, we may judge her activity as monotonous and mundane, not of great importance at all. However, the look on her face tells a different story. Her labor is an activity of love. She uses her talent as a way of connecting with those she loves. And yes, it brings her a degree of deep satisfaction and fulfillment. At this stage in her life, she considers love to be a very important reason for living. We notice the man in a three-piece suit sitting behind a desk, making decisions and determinations. He seems content in his position as head of the company, finding identity and purpose in the work that he does. Now, some individuals may consider the mechanics of the business world to be cold, impersonal, and indifferent. However, I invite you to look again. The man at the desk conducts himself in a way that promotes encouragement and trust. He appears to be genuinely concerned with not only the company, but also his employees and his clients. His manner suggests that he is mindful of the confidence that others have placed in him. And just like the elderly woman, he has discovered his reason for living at that moment, and his intent is to perform his work to the best of his ability. The point is that we should not assign qualities of high or low to our work or to the work of others. When we entered this world as an individual entity, we came equipped with certain talents bestowed on us by our Father, by the one who sent us into this world. And when we live our life according to our highest intent, motives, and aspirations, we are listening to what satisfies our heart and our soul. When we are about our Father's business, it can be no other way. It is no longer a matter of finding a reason for living, but rather we are living our reason for being to the highest intent and purpose. Those who are motivated and moved in an inward way have discovered the self that Socrates, Plato, and Jesus Christ described. When we find in ourselves a call to something higher, and then we do nothing or next to nothing, we become dissatisfied and discontent. Much of the world's frustration is the result of personal ambition, developing and in fulfilling individual egos, instead of developing our God-given capacities. Discovering a reason for living must involve the one who gave us life. When we consciously include God as a very personal presence in our lives, we will heed the call to something higher. We are no longer satisfied with what we have put in place. Now our goal is to live according to the traits and the characteristics assigned to the spiritual self, to be true to our divine nature, declaring it our way of life. The challenge for us is to discover our God-given talents and use them in a way that serves God and our fellow man. In order to have a full and complete life, each of us must find what fulfills us. And if we find it through realization of God, we will also find contentment, joy, peace, harmony, and love, all of which give us our reason for living. This morning we have the opportunity to go beyond words and thoughts and enter the quiet place not touched by man. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In the solitude of this moment, we are alone with God. We relax our bodies, we close our eyes, so that we may be still enough to hear his still small voice. In the silence, we listen beyond the clutter of thoughts and the chatter of noise and distraction. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Rest from the cares and the concerns of the world. They are but an appearance, an arm of flesh. I am the only presence and the only power. There is none else. I gave you life, my life. You are my beloved child. I love you and care for you. I restore and renew, calling to remembrance how it was before the world began. The kingdom of heaven is the true home. I sent you into this world to tell others of truth, the truth about them, so that they may know themselves as I know them. You are not that man of dust, but that man who has his being in Christ. Choose this day to do my work, to live to your highest integrity, fulfilling your true self with deep satisfaction and contentment. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen. go in peace.